Ground ball towards the middle and through. Zach Short's going to score. Heading to third, Trammell. 4-3 Astros. Christian Walker, a huge RBI against his former team.
Yeah, and I was really hoping for that to happen that way, so he could live, you know, his old hometown in a high note. And he had a really good series. Big knock there at the end. But I thought these guys, they came out and they took care of business.
All right, that was Joe Espada. Christian Walker. Christian Walker has started to look like the Christian Walker that the Astros thought they were getting when they gave him a 3-year, $60 million deal. He's been really good the month of July. Thank God, because he's one of the few guys that they had planned on having in this lineup at the beginning of the year who's actually in it. Seth, they threw that lineup yesterday. When they throw the defensive formation up on the screen, you know, they show left, center, right, and the whole infield there. And I'm looking, and it's no exaggeration. Like, that lineup, they granted a getaway day lineup, so it would have been a kind of a skeleton crew anyways, but you got no Jose Altuve and no Cam Smith out there, while you have Jake Myers, Jeremy Pena, Yordan Alvarez, and Isak Paredes on the injured list. And I'm going, you could have played a game. Is this a middle of July lineup, or is this a West Palm Beach lineup? And you, like, I think most people would have guessed that's a West Palm Beach lineup, and yet they sweep the Diamondbacks. They're in first place in the American League right now. It's incredible.
What if I told you, don't worry, Sean, Zach Short and Taylor Trammell are going to be in a high-leverage position in the ninth inning. But guess what they're going to do? They're going to bunt.
Mosquito bites.
Both of them. Yeah, and it's going to spark a rally. Yeah, there's nothing you could have predicted about this at the beginning of the season. I mean, Taylor Trammell was on the, you know, on the roster, obviously, and injured. But, gosh, I don't. I've gotten almost like a sick fascination with seeing. When the lineup comes out, I'm like, yeah, give it to me.
Yeah. Just,
yeah. No, give it to me.
You're not winning.
Wait. I know all these guys. No, I want somebody anonymous, a stranger from the park. Put him in there.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. And highlighted by the whole thing. You talk about the everyday lineup yesterday. Highlighting the whole thing is Brandon Walter, who, if you had to play in a playoff series right now, he would be your third starter after Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. I don't think it's even I don't even think there's a debate right now, because the guys they're trotting out there on the regular are Hunter, Framber, Brandon Walter, Colton Gordon, who's been fine, but he's not been as good as Brandon Walter, and until he went on the IL this week, Lance McCullers, who's been a circus. So Brandon Walter has been one of the most underrated, valuable guys. And he's only got one win to his credit, but he's got a ton of really good outings. Like, he didn't win the game yesterday, but he kind of won the game yesterday. He gave up a home run on the first pitch and then only gave up one base runner the rest of the way for seven innings yesterday.
Well, this team's going to go as the pitching goes. That's during this last skid, the offense was actually a little bit above average. It's just in the month of July, it's been more about the pitching hadn't been quite as stellar as it had before. Yeah. So especially when the relievers, the bullpen has just been relied upon so much. So when the younger guys or the guys that are less heralded or less experienced, like Brandon Walter, can start to give you consistently more innings and consistent performances, it's going to be as simple as that. I've stopped trying to figure the lineup and the offense and Christian Walker in general out, and just know that, man, this team, if they're pitching the way they're capable of pitching, and if they can keep from running out of gas in the second half of the season, that I'm not really putting any limits on them, because I still don't know who's coming back from injury. Obviously.
Well, there's the whole injury thing, but they do small ball really well. They've been the beneficiary of some mistakes made by the opposition. You know, I'm thinking of the Seattle series this weekend where the floodgates open for those 11 runs. You know, a lot of that was, you know, J.P. Crawford just botches a pop fly, and all of a sudden they are really good at taking advantage of the mistakes that the opposition make. They're very opportunistic.
You know, it is, and they're so good defensively, too. And that's something, just as you mentioned, with J.P. Crawford, he had a rough – we didn't have a chance to talk about the rough series he had. Just, like, continually getting screwed by the umpires or by himself.
I liked it.
The fact that the Astros are so good at fielding, it's all these little things on the margins that end up making a difference. The thing that's still just – the thing that doesn't – I know it makes sense, yet at the same time, I hate that they're such a good defensive team, and yet that they're – They cannot hold runners on the bases to save their lives. I just don't want to see a playoff exit happen in some game where there's seven steals.
Yeah. You were gone for a few days. I know you were following it from afar, but while you were gone, just to hammer this home, I don't know if you knew this, but while you were gone, Bryce Matthews turned into the most hyped 167 hitter in the history of baseball.
As I predicted silently as I was hiking on a trail up here, I said, you know what? I think Bryce Matthews is about to really turn the corner on this.
You're right.
And and lo and behold, all the squirrels and the elk and everybody else that may have heard it, they heard it. And they know exactly who to call in the Pacific Northwest to talk Houston sports.
That's exactly right. All right, Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast with you. We are live at Texans training camp. Good job, Astros. We'll talk about them in headlines coming up next. Nick Caserio met with the media yesterday and talked plenty about the team and what he's excited about with this team moving forward as we head into the 2025 season. The thing I was most anxious to hear him talk about, Landry Locker actually asked him about this at the press conference yesterday, and it was what do you make of you guaranteeing Jaden Higgins' contract and the ripple effect that had on the rest of the second round of the draft? You recall Jaden Higgins' contract fully guaranteed. He's the second pick of the second round. That had never happened before. The highest it had ever been before was like 92% guaranteed. It was exactly what you and I thought it was, Seth, which is like, it's 95%. Let's just cut to the chase here on this one. Like, you know, I think Nick is like, probably deserves to be fully guaranteed. Here you go. Here's Nick's answer to that. And Nick, kind of aghast at how big a deal this became around the league.
We're trying to get ahead and stay ahead on trends. Eventually, it was probably going to get there anyways. So we just felt like that was the right thing for us to do. And I think what happened after that, honestly, it was a non-story that was made into a story. But, I mean, everything kind of worked itself out. I think all of us in the league, myself included, have anticipated, at some point, probably the first four or five, you're going to end up at that spot anyways. So why wait around? Why kind of bicker back and forth, go back and forth on the agents? Like, get to a resolution. I mean, I think people that kind of know me and that negotiate with me, I'm kind of a bottom line guy. So let's get to the bottom line. Let's not hem and haw. And, if we think everybody's comfortable with it, then we're going to go ahead and move forward. It didn't really impact Ursary, which is a part of the second round. I think that was more of some other factors that led to kind of the stall there. So we're always going to handle business however we see fit, try to do it logically, be pragmatic about it, try to do it in a responsible way. So again, the off season, there's not a lot of things to talk about. So when I start being around in the Wall Street Journal, this is kind of, it's a nothing deal.
Okay. So let's
I'm not that smart, believe me.
Okay, sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to step on you there. Let me just preface this by saying I have no problem with him fully guaranteeing Jaden Higgins' contract. When the threshold before Seth was like 92%, and if he feels Higgins is a safe enough bet where he fully guarantees it, I love playing the little game, though. Imagine if Bill O'Brien had said that.
Here you go.
Fully guaranteed contract, kid.
I think I had seen somebody say that Caserio has been spending recklessly, and I still disagree with that, just in that he's spending differently than other teams are doing it. And you know what happened? All right, Nick did it first. Nick saw that that's where the trend was going, was the fully guaranteed money for the guys at the top of the second round. So we just did it instead of bickering it or turning into a major thing. And lo and behold, okay, if teams are going to follow that precedent, then there you go. Hey, Derek Stingley's contract, $30 million a year. Can't believe he did that. Okay, well, then Sauce Gardner signs that contract. And I think some people will say, well, yeah, but the Texans are setting that precedent, so you can't say that they're – yeah, but guess what? Everybody else is following it to the point where Derek Stingley's contract is going to be a bargain compared to other top cornerbacks. So yeah. I'm cool with it. I like that there's just kind of a not getting caught up in the minor stuff, like the trifling details, or arguing about what the shape of the table is going to be at the peace summit. It just like this stuff doesn't matter.
The Stingley thing, they're two different things too, and it's appropriate to bring up the Stingley thing, Seth, because you're right. There were people around the league that thought, oh my God, J.C. Horn is making 25, and Nick jumped all the way up to 30 for Derek Stingley. That one is a little bit more if you're a fan of the Texans where you go, okay, because that actually you are literally spending more money. This Jaden Higgins thing is a big nothing burger. You're not it has zero effect on your salary cap. You're just guaranteeing the rest of his deal. Like, it's not impacting – guaranteeing Jaden Higgins, unless he sucks and you got to pay out the rest of the guarantee at some point, we'll cross that bridge if we come to it. I can tell you from having watched him at a few of these practices, he's not going to suck. It was the exact answer I thought Nick would give, which is like, yeah, we were almost there anyways. Why not go ahead and do it? Why is everybody getting so upset? Why does this wind up in the Wall Street Journal was my favorite part of the whole thing. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal about this.
I think it's pretty evident there that Nick just wanted everybody to know that he reads the Wall Street Journal. I opened up The Economist and the Wall Street Journal and several other very niche. I don't think that it's something that to be concerned about because, for one, the Texans haven't spent heavily into the future. Yeah. They're not the team that 2 years from now is spending the most or what have you. He's doing it in doses, especially with the guaranteed money. He's way more comfortable handing out guaranteed money than a lot of other GMs are. And I've told you multiple times, Sean, I think that's best for the team, and it's also best for what a lot of players want. It's okay, it's a shorter-term contract, but it's guaranteed money, and you're renting instead of buying, you know, or you're leasing instead of purchasing, which in the case of football players is always a good idea.
Yes.
Hey, like, hey, you buy a nice vehicle and take care of it, by all means. You're going to keep it for 20 years if you take care of it right.
Yes.
But if you're going to drive it like a race car, then, God, just lease it.
That's right. And you guys, the players, get driven by race cars, or like race cars. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Hey, let's hear from Nick Caserio. I would say one of the more controversial moves, I guess, that we could say that Nick Caserio has made as GM would be signing Damon Arnette, the cornerback, just based on his priors, based on his past. He's turned over a new leaf, Arnette has. So here was Nick Caserio when he was asked yesterday by John McClain, which I would have had as minus 2,000 as the asker of the Damon Arnette question. The signing of Damon Arnette. Here was Nick Caserio on the Texans' thought process there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, a lot of thought goes into it, a lot of conversation. I think you can take all the information into consideration. You go through a pretty extensive vetting process, which we did. So I think where Damon is now relative to where he was earlier in his career is at a different point. And you just are honest about those conversations. I think Damon's trying to do the right things. Try to put himself in a position to take advantage of his opportunities. We're inclined, and if we feel it's appropriate, to give somebody a second chance. We'll see how it goes. I mean, Damon's got to earn his opportunity, but he's been good to work with. He's had a good attitude. He's had a good approach. So we've always taken the approach, regardless of what's happened in the past, regardless of how grave or the gravity of the situation or what it is, understand what it is. And then when a player walks in our building, they kind of have a clean slate, and they're starting from scratch. So, I think it's important just to be honest. Had conversations with the McNairs and about his situation. So I'm not trying to hide anything. So we just kind of take it case by case and try to do the best we can with the information, the opportunities that are in front of us.
Yeah, I think with a guy like Damon Arnette, sometimes it's easier when it's a guy who's had – extreme problems, because you know exactly what the issue is in terms of, okay, what do we have to, because there's the guy outside the building and then the guy inside the building. And sometimes guys inside the building, you can't quite figure out exactly what the problem is. I don't know. People don't seem to like him. I don't know why. Damon Arnette, it's like, oh, no. I can read in the blotter exactly what happened.
Yeah. No, he's as long as he's not carrying guns around anymore.
yes. But it's a minimum salary contract. It is very much a tryout, and he kept his nose clean for a year while he was in the XFL or United Football League, whichever one.
Yeah, the UFL.
Sometimes you just age out of your immature behavior, and you learn some things. One thing that Will had said yesterday that was intriguing to me was he said that we've got some people we can talk to that they hired, and I remember reading an article about one of the people on the fuzzy side of things, the Dylan Thompson coaching type stuff. It wasn't Dylan Thompson. No, okay. It was somebody else. That stuff, you got to remember, you're in a high-performance business, and very few of us grew up in high-performance families. So you just, like, it's not like most people, no matter how good they are, and not regardless of whether they've had issues with a crime or not, you're just like, there's certain things you have to learn to really be a good teammate on a professional team at a really high level that the vast majority of people just, it's not really ingrained in them as kids. And some are more extreme than others. So I've always been fascinated by the teams that can kind of help guys accelerate the maturation process.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is having a philosophy that, like, look, yeah, guys make mistakes. Some guys are still teenagers when they're 24 years old.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that's going to be the end of the world for them. It's just we got to try to help a way to speed it up a little bit and to get guys focused on the things they should be focused on.
He's got a real opportunity, man. I mean, behind Stingley and Lassiter, there is plenty of opportunity to make this football team. The last thing on that one, Seth, and by the way, Cade Stover, we're not going to get to the audio in this segment, but I teased it. Cade Stover is the guy who's getting a ton of love around here, and specifically Nick Caserio volunteered that as a name yesterday. I thought it was interesting that Nick mentioned at the very end there that they did talk to the McNairs about Damon Arnett. You know, like that it was that level of player, at least from a reputation standpoint, that they felt they needed to get ownership and just get the approval of ownership to make the move.
Yeah, that's that is interesting. Then when it comes to, like, I wonder if they have a chart with a threshold for when do you call Callan Hanna? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're off and running here on a Thursday, day two of Texans training camp, live out here. Let's get to headlines coming up next. Training camp, Astros win. We've got drama up north 4 hours from us, really in Oxnard right now because that's where the Cowboys are. This Micah situation. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.